Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Romancing the Smokies? What passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions, worth staying up all night for. Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold. Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome. Thank you for joining us on Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're glad you've joined us in the Dark Hollows Press parlor. Donna Wright has authors Zuri Day, Suzetta Perkins, and Pat Tucker on the couch this evening to tell us more about themselves and their latest stunning releases. Updates on Romancing the Smokies event coming this March 19th. Mallory Kane will have news and info in the romance and publishing industry at the bottom of the hour this week on Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, brought to you by Dark Hollows Press. I'm Jackie DeVera, and now your facund functionary for tonight's episode, Donna Wright.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, everyone. No, there's no reason to stand. It is I, Donna Wright, your best friend here at the Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're talking tonight with three wonderful romance authors, and I can't wait to get started, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on Pat Tucker. Pat, welcome to Hummingbird Place, your home for romance.
Donna, thank you so much for having me. It is my sheer pleasure to join you this evening.
Oh, I'm so glad. It's our pleasure to have you. Now, my understanding is, and if I'm wrong about this, you tell me, but aren't you associated with my pal, LaShira Lee?
Yes, absolutely. I adore her.
I do, too. I just think she's the sweetest thing on the planet. Okay, but let's talk about you, because that's what you came here to talk about. You've got a new book coming out called Somebody Must Pay. Go ahead and give us a little bit of info on that.
Well, the book is actually, it is out currently, and the title is Someone Has to Pay. And it basically looks at a couple of relationships. Now, unfortunately, these are romance gone a little wrong. And so we're dealing with the topic of child support and child support issues. And so we look at two different relationships, two couples, and one of the central characters in this book basically makes a very embarrassing appearance on a syndicated show called DNA Revealed. And during the appearance, it is revealed that the person who was thought to be the father of her child, the one who was imprisoned for not paying child support, really wasn't the father of the child. And so we then follow the main character, Danny, as she begins to reevaluate her life, her love life, and all that is wrong with that. And then in the next couple that we're dealing with is a couple who were together and then the relationship did not work out, and so we're dealing with child custody issues.
That sounds absolutely amazing. Can you imagine how this guy must have felt after being put in prison for not paying his child support, and then it turns out the baby wasn't his?
Yes, and you know, Donna, the stories that I write tend to be fiction, but based on real life events. I am a reporter by trade, and so oftentimes there are a lot of story ideas that come across my desk. And I'm motivated often by a lot of those things that I see. And so believe it or not, these are the type of things that are happening in society today. And so oftentimes my readers will hear about something on the news, or they will tag me in a post on social media to say, oh, my God, we have a child support drama that is unfolding just like in your book. And so
I pride myself
on bringing these type of stories to the forefront, because it is basically a part of what we're dealing with in pop culture today.
Oh, yes, definitely. That is so relative. It is such a relative subject. And who would have thought to put that into a romance novel? Here you have them in a romance novel. I mean, now, so let me ask this. Let me just make this clear. Is this a novel with strong romantic elements, or is it a romance novel?
I think it's a little bit of both, because what we go through with these couples, especially the second couple, is we go to the very beginning of their relationship when everything was rosy and we were in that honeymoon period. The thing with my stories are that I try to give you that honeymoon period, but then we go through the transition and I take you through the journey and let you see how this couple winds up where they are. And so I like to say that I have elements of romance, because as human beings, when we are interacting and dealing with relationships, of the heart, I like to say relationships of the heart, unfortunately, oftentimes things don't necessarily have that fairy tale ending that we like to see. But my hope is that I'm still able to reach readers and entertain and educate as well, because a lot of research goes into the stories that I write. And so when I'm telling you about these laws that exist that, you know, will hold a man responsible for child support for a child that is not his, you know, I like to make sure that I'm writing that the information is factual, that when readers walk away from the story, it's something that they are able to ponder and think about, man, you know, this is something that maybe we need to look into a little bit more. And I think the biggest compliment to me anyway would be when someone says, you know, I did not know that this law existed, but after I read your book, I said, let me check and see what the law is like for my particular state. And so I've had a lot of that from readers and a lot of great feedback as well.
All right. We are on the couch with Pat Tucker and having a great time talking about, of all things, child support on a romance show. But that's okay, because because what is relevant to women is relevant to our show. But for now, we're going to take a break. Pat will be right back, and we'll hear more from Pat Tucker.
It's finally arrived, as promised. Victoria Sue's fourth book in her Serious Shifter series, The Promise. In the war to come, the werewolves need more allies. Allies beyond werewolf kind. Marcus is an ex-Marine who lost both his legs in a landmine accident. He's now human liaison officer for Blaze's pack. Situations go bad quickly, and somehow Marcus must save the wolves from their biggest threat, one of their own. If Marcus succeeds, he will bring in a new era in mankind's battle against the power of evil, and ultimately mend four broken hearts, starting with a simple promise. Victoria Sue's fourth book in her Serious Shifter series, The Promise, is available now.
Tired of the same old thing? Looking for something new and different in the romance industry? Then you must be looking for Loveline's Romance Easing. This is a great place to read about the latest releases and advertise at reasonable prices. It's new, different, and exciting, and you want to be a part of it. Just go to lovelinesmagazine.weebly.com to learn more. Okay, and everybody's wondering, why was it so quiet there for a minute? Well, let me tell you. I had to cough, so I put myself on mute so I could cough. And I'm just talking away to you, Pat, and I'm like, Pat, what's wrong? Why aren't you? Yes, that is the life of a romance writing DJ. That's how it works. Anyway, Pat, tell us again the title of your story.
The story is called Somebody Has to Pay, and it is currently available wherever books are sold and certainly at all of your favorite online retailers for your ebooks as well.
That sounds great. It's also from Simon & Schuster. We're keeping that in mind as well. Also, if you want to know more about Pat, you can go to her website at authorpattucker.com. And if you want to get her on Facebook, it's facebook.com/pat.tucker. Now, Pat, tell me something. When you were writing this, what state does this book take place in?
Most of my stories tend to take place in Texas because I live here in Houston. And mm-hmm. So while all of my stories don't necessarily take place in Houston, it's just easier for me to drop a few familiar landmarks and things like that. So
right.
Most of the stories take place here in Houston, and this particular book is both in Houston, and then also a portion of the story happens in Belize, beautiful Belize, Central America.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just, I'm still trying to get to wrap my head around strong romantic elements in a story about child support. And let me ask you this. Did you have to do a lot of research on the laws before you could write this?
Well, this book, it's a standalone book, but I've mm-hmm. written about child support issues before. So the very mm-hmm. first book that I wrote, Daddy by Default, yes, I had to do a lot of research. But again, the idea for that story simply came across my desk in the way of a phone call from a family member whose loved one had been thrown in jail for not paying child support. And in that case, they knew that that child did not belong to him. But because of the way the law was set up here in Texas at the time, he was still held financially responsible for that child until that child is 18. Now, in a situation like that, here you have a man who is basically being held captive by the courts to pay child support for a child that isn't his. And then what happens when he meets, you know, when he moves on, he meets someone new and then attempts to start a new relationship. So I always say to people that, you know, the baggage that we bring from past relationships or past associations always, you know, somehow find their way into what we're involved with in present day. And so that was the original story, was Daddy by Default. And then as the years have gone by, my readers have expressed interest in, you know, hearing more about these type of issues. And so Somebody Has to Pay basically is kind of like a, you know, saying to my readers, okay, you wanted another story, so here we are.
Wow. That is just really interesting. I can't tell you how neat I think that your ideas are on this. What's next for Pat Tucker?
Well, what is next for me is another interesting romance type story. The story is called Free Fridays, and it centers around a couple who are married, and they are looking at marriages around them fall apart. So the wife's best friend, her marriage falls apart, and then her grandparents, who have been the model for what marriage was, married for 53 years, their marriage fell apart. And so hubby comes to the wife and says, listen, we see what is going on. We don't want this to happen to us. Why don't we look at something unconventional? Why don't we look at giving each other the freedom one Friday out of, you know, the month? Let's give each other the freedom to do whatever it is that we want, whether that is go on a date with someone else or, you know, go have dinner with friends and not have to worry about checking in. And it just really kind of looked at the idea, the one couple, the best friend that divorced, she said, you know, if I celebrated 10 years of marriage with this person and we've decided that we can no longer, we've outgrown each other, we can no longer, you know, make it to number 11, why am I looked upon as a failure? Why can't we have agreed that we need to go our separate ways? And just the idea that the commitment of marriage or marriage itself has not changed since its inception. And so you have a couple that's saying, if we are friendly with each other, if we care about each other, we still love each other, but maybe that love has evolved into something different, then why are we seen as failures because we decide that we no longer want to be in this union? And so it just really kind of takes a look at, you know, these unconventional approaches to marriage. And who's to say that just like everything else change and evolve over time, this particular union has not. So for these couples, they just kind of explore that. And that book is called Free Friday.
Free Friday?
Free Friday.
Okay. And when will that be out?
That will be out in July.
Okay. We'll be looking forward to it. Again, if you want to know more about Pat Tucker, she is being published by Simon & Schuster, and you can reach her at her website at authorpattucker.com. Pat, can't thank you enough for being here. I've really enjoyed having you.
Donna, it has been my sheer pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share my work with your audience. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Pat Tucker. She's got some extremely interesting things going on. But you know what? I've got some extremely interesting things going on, too.
And now the latest about Romancing the Smokies.
That's right. I love my reverb, Romancing the Smokies. Just so excited. Bunch of stuff going on. Just wanted to remind everybody about the wonderful people that are going to be at the Romancing the Smokies. Of course, we have a wonderful, wonderful keynote speaker, and her name is Tanya Kappas. Tanya's table is full. I mean, you know, we are doing so great, and Tanya's table is full, but we've got all kinds of wonderful people coming. We have featured authors Leanne Tyler, Sandy Sullivan, Shannon West, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, Hallie Bridgman, Susan Tisdale, Brandy Kennedy, and J.K. Ensley. Our gold sponsors are Kathy Daly, Victoria Sue, Rihanna Mallory, and Dark Hollows Press. And our silver sponsors are mostly our local authors, Mallory Kane, Julie Alexander, Deborah Parmley, Chris Nicole, Vicki Vaught, Carolyn Carey, Kate McKeever, and Andrea Renee Smith. But that's not the most exciting thing about Romancing the Smokies. The most exciting thing about Romancing the Smokies is that you get to meet me. What more could you ask for? Absolutely nothing. And now that we've gone over that, why don't we go ahead, because we're running a little behind, and get with Suzetta Perkins. She's just been waiting in the wings so patiently and sweetly. Hello, Suzetta. How are you, sweetie?
Oh, I'm fine, Donna. Thank you for having me.
It's always my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about Hollywood Sky.
Wow. This is my 10th novel with Straber Books. And Hollywood Sky is about a young girl who's very naive, 19 years old. Her father was recently killed in Afghanistan. And she's kind of searching for love, because her father was her best friend, even though she does have, you know, mother, and she's searching for love. And what she does is she lives in Junction City, Kansas, a place that I have actually visited before, and, you know, she feels trapped in that particular place. And so she aspires to get out. So what she does is she coerces a military guy from a nearby military base to marry her so that she could leave her, leave the city that she, you know, was born in and born and raised. But she finds out that 1,000 miles from home, because the husband has now transferred to another locale, that she's in a marriage, you know, from hell. And she gets on a bus and with her 2 suitcases and a few $100 and heads for Los Angeles, because she at some point in her life has aspired to be an actress. She gets to L.A. coming from a small town that she's very ill-equipped for, but she does have, you know, some moderate success, and she finds a good job. But it looks like her everything is looking up for her, because she meets a man who well manicured, well dressed, who tells her that, you know, he will be her manager and will help jumpstart her career. But that's when her everything falls apart for her, because everything that glitters is not gold in Hollywood. And she finds herself on the bad end of a deal when she is in a car and she is arrested by the feds. And that's kind of really what I want to talk about. Anyway, it is a love story, because I did take Skye Taylor Culberson through a lot of things, you know. But we see this person who is young, unknowing, grow up through all the different things and situations that she finds herself within this particular story.
Wow. That just sounds like so much, though, of what would actually happen in Hollywood, especially the scummy guy who comes along and says, smarmy, that's the word, smarmy. Oh,
right,
I'll help
right.
you. Here's some candy, yeah. little girl. You know, that's what
right.
I was thinking.
Well, you know, everybody's looking for, you know, everybody's, you know, they go to L.A. looking for a promise, you know, and she, you know, was gullible, you know, and she looks so easy for him. And, you know, she didn't know any better. She's distanced herself from her family. So here she is out there knowing that she wants to get a jump start. Here's a person who's giving her an opportunity to, you know, possibly, you know, have a wonderful career. But she doesn't do her homework. She doesn't, you know, we hope that our children are smart when they leave home and all this kind of thing, you know. But she's looking for a wing and a prayer and a big paycheck in the sky. But anyway, I will say that I did make it good for her, because I felt I really am endeared to all my characters in any mm-hmm. book that I write, and I felt a sense of responsibility for her, because I put her out in Hollywood in dangerous shark-infested waters, you know, and I wanted her to find love and throughout all of this and to grow as an individual, because you will see her growth as she goes through the different obstacles that she finds herself.
And we are on the couch with Suzetta Perkins, and her latest book is Hollywood Sky, all about a young lady with stars in her eyes going to Hollywood. And, you know, when I was young, I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to sing and I wanted to act.
Is that right?
And, yes. So now you know something about me you didn't know.
Wow.
And,
great.
Yeah. And I'm so glad I never got into that life.
It is a very tough one, you know. And I, of course, well, I don't know. So for some people, they would say, you know, that's unfortunate. But I do watch a lot of reality TV. I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. I'm just telling the truth. And you see so much, you know. And not that I was trying to tag on anything that was happening, but it just became a part, you know, of the not necessarily the premise, but, you know, it became part of my story as well, you know, as I mm-hmm. was delving into this, you know, because it's a tough life, you know, and if anyone who is really seeking that kind of fame and fortune, it is a very, very tough life, and it's a cutthroat, you know, type of life. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
You have to have a lot of stamina, thick skin, and all of that, you know. But, you know.
I just, I know that there's no way that I would have been successful out there. There's just no way. I could not have lived that life. I have a friend who actually, and this is the truth, she lived in Texas, and she actually got into some acting, not anything heavy. Mm-hmm. For one thing, she was a, a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys for a season or two. She also did a stand-in job for Diane Lane in, I can't remember the name of the story, the name of the movie, but also she used to be on the old Dallas show. She was just a kid, in her early 20s, the things that she can tell you about being on a set like that and about the actors, you know, the famous ones and what they were doing and the ones that you think would be just, oh, the sweetest person in the world, not necessarily.
I will
say that she loved Larry Hagman.
Is that right? J.R.
I believe that J.R. Ewing is absolutely the greatest television villain of all time, bar none, because he would tell you to kiss your butt, your own butt, and be smiling as he did it. So he was great. Ladies and gentlemen, Suzetta Perkins, you can see more about her, SuzettaPerkins.com. Now, Suzetta, before you go, tell us what's next for you.
Well, actually, I have three books in the wing that I've written, but more currently, I have written a children's book with my granddaughter, and it's entitled The Adventures of Grammy and Sammy, and it's 10 vignettes, so to speak, that kind of chronicles, even though we use fictitious names, but it chronicles our adventures as grandmother and granddaughter, and I learned something from her, and she learns from me. And I think it's wonderful. It's due out any day. I'm waiting for it to come from the printers. And so I'm really excited about that, really excited about that.
So you're going hybrid. You're not only with Strayboar Books, I think it is.
Right. Yes, Strayboar, which is the imprint of Simon & Schuster.
And plus, you're doing a little bit of self-publishing there on the children's.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, I acquired a local publishing independent company to produce this particular book.
Well, I think that's wonderful. You know, everybody's doing it nowadays. Even some of the really big stars is getting some of their rights back and writing some things that's just for indie publishing. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Trish Milburn, but I'm in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. She came to town one day, and she talked to us about what she calls the Trident Publishing. And what she means by that is that she has stuff with the big publishers, Harlequin being one of them. She has stuff with small presses. And she has stuff that she's indie publishing, so she's doing all three.
Wow. But, yeah, this is something I had been aspiring to do for a long time. So I have three books, that children's books that I want to do. The two are finished. I'm still waiting for hired an illustrator to do the two other books. Heard me talk about, you know, in Hollywood Sky, the father was killed in Afghanistan. I'm a former military spouse, so I wanted to write something, you know, with a military tone in it. So the other two books I'm going to write are about, you know, was entitled My Daddy's Gone to War, and then publishers said, why don't I do a companion piece? So that's what that's about, you know, because my grandchildren have, you know, seen their father go off to war, and there's something for them. So that's why I did those two books.
What a wonderful thought. I think that's fabulous, Suzetta. Thank you so much for being on tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Donna. I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak to the listening public.
Well, it is certainly my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Suzetta Perkins, And her latest book, Hollywood Sky, all about that young lady with those stars in her eyes. And you know what? We will be right back right after this.
You're listening to Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press Studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com.
And, of course, now you missed it last week because she wasn't here. And I have to say that the sun just did not shine as bright last Monday. However, she is here tonight with the romance news, the one, the only, my friend and yours, Mallory Kane.
Donna, thank you. And thank you for missing me. That
I
makes
did.
Me feel so special. I appreciate it. I had my evening start off pretty badly. I was brushing my teeth before I called in, and, of course, I was holding my wine in one hand and brushing my teeth with the other, and I ended up brushing my teeth with wine tonight. So, but I'm doing better now because I drank what's left of it.
That's good.
Yeah, my news tonight is rather poignant. I was shocked and shocked and shocked again last week to just every day wake up to find that another celebrity, well-known, revered, beloved, had died. And so tonight I'm doing a little something different. I'm going to read the people in the public eye who have died since the beginning of 2016. We start out with the iconic rocker and actor David Bowie, who died peacefully at his home on January 10th following a secret 18-month battle with liver cancer. His wife, supermodel Iman, posted a telling quote to Instagram just days before the star's shocking death. She said on Instagram, "Sometimes you will never know the true value of a moment until it becomes a memory." Bowie left his fans with a parting gift just before his death that was released 2 days prior to his death. The album is called Black Star. He was 69 years old. And, of course, the revered British actor Alan Rickman died on January 14th. After
wait a minute,
I have to say it.
Wait a minute. Stop. I have to say it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Turn to page 394.
Four.
And he you can start 69. Again, but I had to say it. He's so,
yeah.
I just love him.
I know. This shocked and saddened so many people. Although he was perhaps best known for his role as Professor Snape in the Harry Potter franchise, saying, "He's turned to page." Is that where that's from? I'm sure it
yes.
is.
Yes. Turn to page 394. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The award-winning actor had a storied career that included Hans Gruber, Die Hard in 1988, where apparently he was one of the most amazing villains ever.
Yes.
And roles in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, my gosh, he was so funny.
Sheriff of Nottingham. And
yes.
Made the TV movie Rasputin. And I must mention Galaxy Quest.
Oh my
gosh.
By
Rathgar Hammer. You know.
I don't need this. I've played Richard III.
That's right. I love that movie.
Oh,
but,
I do too.
He had completed voice work for Alice Through the Looking Glass as the Blue Caterpillar before he died. And he is survived by his love of more than 50 years, Rima Horton.
Oh.
Natalie Cole, music lost a legend when she died on New Year's Eve due to heart failure caused by lung disease. She was 65. A rep for the Grammy-winning singer said Natalie died the way she lived, with dignity, strength, and honor. The unforgettable crooner was the daughter of the late, great Nat King Cole and had a beautiful music career that was only briefly interrupted in the early 80s due to her battle with drug addiction, which she detailed in her 2000 memoir, Angel on My Shoulder. Let's see, who else? Dan Haggerty, best known for the role of Grizzly Adams on the 70s hit television series, The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, died last week of cancer at the age of 74. While best known for his television work, Haggerty continued to work in the industry in small film roles up until his death. In addition to acting, he enjoyed working with wild animals and was a trainer for Walt Disney Studios.
Hmm.
And Ghostbuster actor David Margulies died at the age of 78 on January 11th after a long illness, survived by his partner Lois Smith, a son and a grandson. In addition to his role as the mayor of New York in the Ghostbusters films in 1984 and 89, David was also well known for his role as Tony Soprano's lawyer, Neil Mick, on The Sopranos. And many people may have heard that Celine Dion's husband lost his decades-long battle to cancer on January 14th.
Mm-hmm.
The music manager who discovered and married Celine Dion passed away at the age of 73. Sadly, later in the same week, her brother, who had also been battling cancer, died. British actor Brian Bedford, whose stage work included roles by Shakespeare and Chekhov, and had a long relationship with the Stratford Film Festival and a memorable cross-dressing turn as a dowager on Broadway, died of cancer on January 13th. Richard Libertini, who is a prolific character actor whose black-bearded visage graced dictators, rabbis, Polonius, and priests, died of cancer on January 7th. If you look up his picture, he is a long-faced, kind of dour-looking actor, and you would recognize him immediately. And Donna, Pat Harrington, who played apartment super Dwayne Schneider on the hit CBS sitcom One Day at a Time, died of complications from Alzheimer's on January 6th. He was 86.
And you know what that makes me want to say? Always remember and never forget. He used to say that all the time.
Always remember and never forget.
Always remember and never forget. Yeah, I remember that. And I remembered and didn't forget. So.
And you did, absolutely. There you go. Robert Stigwood, who managed the Bee Gees and produced 1970s blockbusters Grease and Saturday Night Fever, died on January 4th. He was 81. Dale Bumpers, a former Arkansas governor and U.S. senator who earned the nickname Giant Killer for taking down incumbents, and who gave a passionate speech defending Bill Clinton during the president's impeachment trial, died January 1. He was 90.
Wow.
And I know. Noreen Corcoran, who was an American actress known for her role in the television sitcom Bachelor Father, as his teenager, Kelly Gregg, Bachelor Father, his niece, played by John Forsythe, died.
Right.
And then, of course, many people may have heard of Craig Strickland, the country music singer who was found dead in early January after he went missing on a duck hunt in a powerful storm.
Yeah.
And then, Donna, as we were driving to dinner tonight on
I know,
NPR,
I heard.
They announced that the Eagles, Glenn Frey, had died this afternoon or sometime today.
Yeah.
Amazing. I don't think I've ever seen as many.
I know, it's just been horrible.
Public figures dying in the same month or three weeks, actually.
Yeah, I mean, today's just the 18th. We don't even really have a full 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. This is what's killing me is how old they were.
I know.
And
some of these folks. You just
I know,
don't
and
know,
I'm
realize.
Thinking, how did Glenn Frey get to be 65?
I know.
How did that happen? How did David Bowie get to be 69 years old?
69.
I know. And that's why you and I are looking at these and going, everybody's dying. It's because, let's be honest, it's in our age group. It's in our age group, but we're like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So it makes me feel.
It's been really. It's very poignant and very sad because even though we don't know these people, we feel like we do. And
well, they've been in
we
my house. They've been to my house.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Whenever we lose these iconic figures, like Alan Rickman, well, like any of them, then it's a reminder to us.
I got to tell you something. I called my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, normally, you know, I wouldn't bother you. Are you at work? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, normally I wouldn't bother you, honey, but I got something to tell you. And he said, what's up, Mama? And I said, Alan Rickman passed away. And he just was quiet for just a minute, and then he went, that's just wrong.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said. He said, that's just wrong. So all I can tell you is, that's just wrong.
I know.
You know,
really,
and I think that's how we're going to have to leave it. Well, Mallory Kane, thank you so, so much for being on with the news this evening.
Well, thank you for having me, as always. I always enjoy it.
Well, and aren't you nice and cozy not having to be out in this 19-degree weather?
Oh, I came home and jumped in the bed and pulled the cover up. So I would be nice and cozy.
Well, that's another glass of wine. Please have another glass.
Thank you. I think I will.
I think you should. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Romance News with Mallory Kane. Thanks again, Ricky.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to take you behind the scenes for just a moment. When it comes to who's going to be on the show, I really don't know usually until a couple of days before that this person or that person is going to be on the show. But when I was told that Zuri Day, my buddy Zuri Day, was going to be on the show, I was so excited, I had to go to the restroom. And that is a true story. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you my buddy Zuri Day. Zuri, welcome to Hummingbird Place. Welcome back.
Oh, my goodness, Donna, thank you so much. That was quite the introduction.
Yes, it was. And that was special just for you because you're my girl. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing so good. I'm so excited to be back with you.
And I'm so excited to have you back, sweetheart. Listen, I understand you've got this new book out, Silken Embrace, and everybody's just waiting with bated breath. Let's hear about it.
Silken Embrace is book number 6, I believe, yes, in the Drakes of California series. And for those who are not familiar with the Drakes of California, first of all, I just love them. It's a multi-generational family, and even though the romances are centered around, you know, younger people, as is appropriate for the Harlequin brand, they're normally in their 20s, every now and then a 30-year-old or something, but they prefer mostly in their 20s. But you still get the flavor of all of these generations, and they are a wine country. It started out as a wine vineyard-owning family in Southern California, and then discovered they had cousins that were in Northern California, and that is where this novel takes place, Silken Embrace. It is about the playboy, or the bad boy, whichever phrase you want to use, in the family. His name is Terrell. He is 28 years old. He doesn't think he'll ever marry. He doesn't really feel the need for it at this time. He's quite enjoying his life and his pick of the, you know, of the lovelies, if you will.
Right.
Till he meets a woman who brings her son to the community center that his family, who is very wealthy, his side of the family owns a real estate dynasty, and they have built a community center for at-risk and lower-income families, and for young men, perhaps don't have men in their family to mentor. They have a mentorship program and all of these really nice things, a computer room, et cetera, et cetera. And she is new in town and brings her son there. And she's very nice-looking, but she's also very focused because she is attending the University of California at oh my goodness, Davis. Like, where are they at? where were they? And which is about 20 minutes outside of the fictitious Paradise Cove. And so she really is totally not interested. And when he, you know, does a minor flirtation, she turns him down flat, which is such an unusual occurrence for him because he is a very nice-looking man. But, of course, that piques his interest right away. And more than that, when they do get a chance to talk and he expresses his interest in maybe going out, she lets him know that if that is the case, that it would be something very casual. Basically, she would just be with him for sex, you know, because, not dating anyone. You're nice looking, but I'm not interested in anything serious. Which, again, that's normally his line.
Right.
You have to tell the woman, don't get too involved with me. So she's very intriguing from the very beginning. And as the story unfolds, we see a man in unfamiliar territory trying to get a woman who has a totally different concentrated focus on something else.
Well, I would imagine that a man like him, good looking, rich, he's got women climbing all over him. And here's that one woman who's looking at him going, okay, I admit you're good looking and you're rich, but you know what? I don't care. I got my own plans.
Absolutely. It's so delicious. And then adding another layer to that story is the fact that the father of her child is in fact from a very wealthy family on the East Coast. The problem that they ran into, however, is that Aaliyah, who is the heroine, she grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in a working class community. Her parents, she grew up in a very loving family, very close-knit family. Her father was a hard-working man. He worked on the subway for many, many years until he was injured and had to take disability. Her mother is a nurse, and so she's used to hard work, but they recognized from an early age that she was very bright. And they put her in a program where she ended up in a private school on the Upper East Side by Central Park, and where the very wealthy attend school. And then she received a full scholarship to Brown University in Rhode Island, and that is where she met the father of her child. But when he introduced her to his family, she did not have the right pedigree. And so they did not feel that she was good enough for their son. So not only is she focused and not interested in any long-term relationship, but the fact that he is wealthy, in her case, probably works against him more than it does for him, because of her negative experience with people of that ilk. So there are many layers to the story that makes it so rich. And I had to be careful that her son did not steal the spotlight, because he's just a five-year-old precocious little boy who is just as bright as his mother. You know, he also inherited that. He's very, very smart, and his intellect plays a part in the story, which I won't give away. But it's really it's a different type of love story, and one that, you know, there's only so many ways to tell. What do they say? There's like eight basic storylines and then mm-hmm. different ways to tell the same ones. But this is a fresh way to look at two people falling in love. I quite enjoyed it, and so far people who have read it, it has 5 stars across the board, and people seem to have really embraced that. It has just a little different twist to bringing them together.
Well, if I was that age, I would be looking for a nice-looking rich man. In fact, my husband and I have said you can have a boyfriend or girlfriend as long as they're rich.
rich and willing to share, right?
That's right. You know, I told my husband, I said, honey, you can have a girlfriend. You can't have sex with her. No, no.
Right.
But as long as she's got money, I'm good with it.
Absolutely.
Go out. Let her take you to dinner. Let her buy you a new car. Let her
buy the new car, pay off all the bills, you know,
set
up college funds, do all of that. That sounds like a very good plan, Donna. I think that, you know, more married couples might want to take your advice on that. That would work out really, really well. No sex, you know, they can go to the movie or something like that. I don't know. Maybe come over and you all play travel or something. I don't know.
It might work. But, you know, you were talking about the son not stealing it. It's so hard when you're doing children and animals not to let them steal the show.
Absolutely. In fact, I had to cut down on some of his screen time simply because he was such an adorable presence in the novels that it was easy, you know, or it would have been easy to kind of lean on that because it was so easy to do. And thank God for my editor. She's really fabulous, Glenda Howard at Harlequin. And she was, you know, very mindful to pull me back and keep the focus on the couple and on their love affair. But the times that he is introduced, he is just such a great addition to the storyline. You know, he's a great supporting character, and I quite enjoyed the interaction between them. I have written several books that involve parents with a child, because more and more these days, especially if you're writing about someone that's say 30 years old or older,
right,
which I do when I can get away with it, I write when I'm between 30 and 35. I find that I'm able to create such a deeper story with someone who has a little life experience behind them and life lessons that they've learned, et cetera, et cetera. It can just be so very rich, and not that people in their 20s have not had rich life experience, et cetera, but there's just some differences there. And I seem to get really good feedback when that happens, because there are people who can relate to having, you know, either a failed marriage or a relationship that did not end up in marriage, like the heroine Aaliyah, you know, where something happened that the father of the child or mother, whichever direction it goes, did not come together. And how is it to date, you know, having a child? Yes. And that is also one of the conflicts, if you will, in the novel, that she is not the type of woman, you know, that is like one of her rules, that she doesn't bring, you know, men home. She doesn't want to confuse her child, and she doesn't want her child to perhaps get attached to someone who is just a temporary diversion, if you will. So, again, it allows you to go in so many different directions when a child is involved, and I quite enjoyed writing about him.
And we are on the couch with Zuri Day, and if you'd like to know more about Zuri, you can go to her website, zuriday.com. I'm going to spell that for you, zuridaY.com. And tell me, sweetheart, what's going on with you in the future? What's the next project for Zuri Day?
Oh, my goodness. I have so many, Donna. It's really been going kind of crazy, but I've just finished, which is one of the reasons I think of the college, because I just sent the edits to book number 7, which is called Sapphire Attraction. I just sent that to my editor. It's book number 7 in the Drakes of California series. That one comes out in June, January. Okay, so in February, I am very excited. I want all of your listeners, all, to get the first book in my Blue Collar Lover series. It's called Driving Heat, and it's about a bus driver, because book number 2, which is about a postal worker, and it's called Packing Heat, comes out next month on the 23rd. And please go to YouTube. My channel is The Lovely Day Experience. The Lovely Day Experience, if you just put that at the top, it will bring up the Lovely Day channel, and take a look at the trailer for Packing Heat. It is one of my favorites, produced by my very own company, which I'm very proud to say, and I absolutely love it. But the Blue Collar Lover series, the first book of which was voted one of the top 10 books across all genres of romance by Publishers Weekly, which was a huge compliment to be recognized by them across all of the genres, because it is one of the rare times that the blue collar man, or the quote ordinary man, gets a little love in the romance novels.
Absolutely.
Like most people, I enjoy the millionaires. I enjoy the Drakes, you know. I enjoy the counts and the kings and all of that. But it has been so refreshing for people to read about an ordinary man who has extraordinary manners, who is loving and loyal and kind and generous and supportive and hardworking and faithful and all of those things. And that is what the Carter family brings. They were raised by two loving parents who are still in love now. Their father was a military man, so they were, you know, really raised properly with that military, not with the with the iron fist, so to speak, but just with the discipline. And so the first brother, the oldest brother, he worked for the bus company, like I said, and which had people with cars were writing me, telling me they were thinking about getting a bus pass after that, just to see if they could meet someone like him. And then And then Passing Heat, it takes place in the post office, which I must tell you, Donna, it was so fun. Research is not always fun, but researching for this job, for this book, it was very interesting because I had heard that the post office can kind of be like a soap opera, and the people I talked to, they said that is really true. And that's the
there's just a lot going on at the Postal Service.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes where they are doing the boxes and the pack. Behind what we can't see, there's all kinds of things going on. So much so that the people that helped me, I want to thank them. And they told me, no, they have to remain anonymous to keep their job. I only
Sorry.
Their first name.
Well, Zuri, honey, our time has drawn to a close. Thank you so much for being on again. I do enjoy you.
I enjoy you so much, Donna. We have to make it again soon.
Absolutely. And don't forget, everybody, next month we're going to do, now, what was the name of the one for next month? Packing Heat.
Packing Heat. Go to YouTube, and you can also put in Packing Heat, Zuri Day. That may be easier. You don't have to remember so much. Just go to YouTube, put in Packing Heat, Zuri Day, and watch the trailer.
I cannot wait. I plan to do that right away. I do. Zuri, again, thank you so much. And remember, everyone, if you want to know more about Zuri Day, just go to ZuriDay.com, and we will be back in just a moment.
Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for. Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold.
And I'm excited to let you know that next week, here on Monday night, we'll have Nikki Knight, Iris Bowling, and Ternica Kane. I am so excited that you have joined us tonight, and I hope that you have a wonderful week. Thank you.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com.